There is nothing wrong with your internet. Do not attempt to adjust your settings. We are controlling the podcast. We control the squealing and the screams. We can make your heart flutter, your eyes blur from tears, or sharpen your mind to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit back. We are in control of what you hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your settings. You are about to experience the awe and mystery known as the female mind. You are now entering the fangirl zone.
Welcome to the Mudhorn Clancast on the Fangirl Zone. I am Beskar Dave.
I am Sean Fangirl S.
And I'm Sith Lord Steve. Today we're talking The Acolyte, titled The Acolyte, Episode 8, or the season finale of Season 1, written by Jason McAleef, Leslie Headland, and George Lucas, and directed by Hanel M. Culpepper.
Do you know it was also subtitled The Acolyte?
Yes.
They went all out with that one.
Yeah, they sure did.
Yeah, okay. No, I have found some ratings information.
Oh, yeah? Yeah,
rounding out the top 10 streaming originals for the week of June 3rd were Netflix, 7M, TikTok cult documentary, and the chart debut of Disney Plus's The Acolyte, which had 488 million minutes viewed for its first two episodes.
Wow.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yep. I bet it's not that now.
That's crazy that it took that long for it to come out with anything, but streaming is so different.
Yes, yeah. It is.
And it's such weird.
Yeah.
All right, here's a quick episode recap. Past tragedies are revisited in the light of a new truth, and a surprise choice leads the way to an uncertain future. You mean like being renewed?
Yeah.
We shall see. I got a feeling it will. I don't think they're going to quit on
I would
show.
Hope so.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that is the worst cliffhanger.
Yeah, and seeing Master Yoda in the last shot pretty much sets it up for more good story, so I'm pretty sure it'll get picked up.
Yeah.
We're going way back. Why didn't he have more hair? Is he like Patrick Stewart, who's basically like never really had hair?
I've never seen one of his kind have a lot of hair.
Yeah, not their thing. Ears, yes. Hair, no.
Yeah.
All right, Sean, why don't you lay an initial reaction on us?
Okay. Well, I started to say before we actually started recording, I was surprised. Like, this one did actually surprise me. Many moments that had me like, what? So, and of course, at the end with Yoda, my husband was like, let it be Yoda, let it be Yoda, let it be Yoda. And then you get the back of his head. And he was super excited, too. So, I really did enjoy this one. I was a little mad, but I did enjoy it. And then it just makes me want to find out more information about some of the characters. So they better give us another season.
Steve?
Yeah, it was definitely an enjoyable episode. A little surprised with Osha taking out Saul like that. But once you get the truth, sometimes it doesn't set well with people.
Yeah, I guess she is one person, huh? Doesn't matter which iteration.
Yep.
I thought it was okay. I thought last week's was better. The one thing I don't like that Sean alluded to is, well, I don't like him deconstructing the Jedi still.
Right.
When having the hero side or the good side or light side, if you keep billing them down, and then this just confirms by the end that
cover up continues.
Yeah, and now Yoda's going to be in on it. So he's part of the conspiracy too. Plus, Bernester doesn't tell him. I can't imagine that. It's like everybody's tainted.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Oh, see, I have to disagree with you there, though. I don't think Yoda is going to be part of the cover-up.
What is she going to tell him, then?
I don't know. Especially if she is... I'm assuming at this point, Yoda is supposed to be, like, her master. So I would think that he would still have, like, a lot of power. But I don't know. That's going into a whole nother rabbit hole of what she's going to say. Like, I think it's going to be something more along the lines of evading everything with Saul and just saying, like, my old Padawan has returned or something.
Right.
So it's not a lie, but it's a lie of omission.
Disagree. I think Yoda did keep the truth from Luke.
Yes.
Yeah, so that makes him a liar, too. Well, he kept that a secret. Why? It's still a lie of omission. I don't get it. Well, I don't like it. We'll see what happens when they renew it. I mean, it was Darth Vader that had to tell him. It sure wasn't Yoda. And wait a minute. That makes Obi-Wan Kenobi part of it, too?
Yep.
Oh, my God. You're going down a rabbit hole.
It's not a rabbit hole.
It's part of the Jedi way, it seems
like. It follows logically, yeah. Unless that was, I think that was time-traveling Baby Yoda that we saw at the end. He's going to complain about not having hair. All right, Sean, why don't you lead us off in the recap?
All right. We open hearing Osha's breathing inside Kamira's helmet, where we left her in episode 6. And Kamira looks on. Suddenly, she's gasping for breath and struggling inside the helmet. As Kamira lunges out, stopped by the Force, his eyes turning black, like how the witches on Brendok controlled people. I thought that was kind of interesting, because we've kind of seen him doing things that we assumed he learned somehow from the witches of Brendok at some point or somewhere.
Right.
And then this is happening, so I was like, And we never get to see what he is necessarily seeing. Because he's in like a vision, like back in whatever episode when Anasea took over the mind of our Jedi who wanted to go back to Coruscant.
Yeah, Torben.
I wanted to know what he was seeing, though.
Yeah.
I just took a wild guess that he's seeing his master, or maybe the time that he was turned after his survival.
Right.
Interesting. And
Vernestra, I guess. I just thought he had to go back there because otherwise he wouldn't be able to get the helmet off.
Oh, that's
you know, nice. he had to protect whatever self-defense that the helmet had on Osha. That was my take on it. Otherwise, that thing wasn't coming off.
No.
I will tell you, people all over the internet, if you hadn't seen it, were going crazy this episode with memes like, or not memes, but like little snippets going, look how he's reaching for her so lovingly and how he's always touching her hand to do that. I'm like, maybe trauma bonding, but
yeah.
But anyway. So the two fight mentally for what seems like a very long moment before Kamira can rip the helmet off her. And Osha says she had seen her sister May with her hand outstretched with a lightsaber, but she was after she killed Master Saul. She didn't use the lightsaber. And I'm thinking, you're twins, though. And then later, well, it all makes sense. But Kamira comes to the realization that May will kill with no weapon, which is the lesson he had wanted to teach her as early as episode 1 of this season. But Osha points out that the future isn't fixed and May can be stopped. I don't know, does she still think she can save her sister? Kamira says they can both go on a ship to see which of the two of them can get to May first. That just sounded ominous to me. But we're jumping back over to Saul and May, and we see that he's brought her back to Brendok, and he explains about the virgins on the planet and how he's going to contact Vernestra, Ro, since both of the girls are alive, and he wants to prove its existence. I still think that you just told them they could have proved it, but okay. During their chat, May turns on Pip, who she reprogrammed back to factory settings, to try and sneakily get out of her binders. Why on earth would you not have taken that away from her?
Exactly.
That's like, you know what, let me put this dagger right here by your hand. May's rightfully mad at the Jedi for invading her home, and Saul begins to explain that they're not twins or even sisters. But before you can say what they are, May breaks free and shocks him with Pip. Yeah, I didn't know he had all those functions. Quite interesting. Saul then snags his own ship because May decided to flip into the escape pod. And, excuse me, what's with Basil? Like, constantly popping out of nowhere and doing the weird sniffy thing. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Maybe he can sense or track more than just smell. I don't know. That is confusing because if he believes in her, doesn't want her to die. I don't know.
Yeah.
I know. It is confusing. Like the way he kind of pops up here and there. And it's like, but May ends up going to the rings of the planet. And she's like, oh, he won't follow us. Well, he did. And, you know, the ship's taking damage left and right because much bigger than that little escape pod. However, I did not understand if he was going to fire on May or if he was using almost like not a tractor, but something to hook her and bring her back.
I think he was going to fire, which didn't make sense to me.
Right.
And that's why
Basil's shutting down
the wires, yeah.
And again, what is going on with Basil? Because that was confusing again. It's like, all right, are you helping her? Are you not wanting? Are you, like you said, is he sensing some kind of, I don't know, emotional shift? It was strange.
It's the only thing I can think of. But yeah, there was a lot of gaps in the writing that way.
Yeah. Well, when the power's cut, then Saul's ship careens into May's ship, and well, they're both going down. Caught in Brendock's atmosphere, where she does a very nice rock skipping with the ship. And it's like, how did that not just go boom? But
yeah,
okay.
Flip over and
yeah.
We get to go back to Coruscant, and Padawan Mog stops Fenestra, saying that Senator Rayancourt is there to see her. And she goes to meet the politician, and this is something that was pointed out repeatedly online as well, that she keeps using the Force in little ways and not respecting it, because she uses it to open an automatic door.
Right.
And that I thought was interesting when I seen this online, because she's doing it over and over, and just little things. If you don't respect the little things with it that you're teaching everyone, then why would you respect the big thing?
Yeah.
But she steps in to meet the politician, and they're tossing a few pleasantries back and forth. Not so pleasantries, too. He gets right to the point that he knows she's running a murder investigation, is worried that the Senate's not involved in anything. But Fenestra shuts him down. Rayancourt flat out tells her he thinks that the Jedi Order is an unchecked power in their government, posing as a religion. He says they can't control their emotions, projecting goodwill to all, but he knows someone will snap at some point. Ooh, foreshadowing. Fenestra shows him the door by using the Force again, and he says he's reported her lack of transparency to the Chancellor Drellick, for a future Senate tribunal. I know nothing about that Chancellor, so if you guys know, please fill me in. And we get to go back to our mysterious island with our little elephant bird. Before leaving the island, Kamir says OSHA should be trained. He asks if she would consider it, and she gives him a hard no. He offers her one more chance, and she says, I'm not May. To which point he says, well, she didn't hesitate to jump on that offer. They get on the ship and head out. And this is something that had me going, who the hell is that? Because from the cave, we see a mysterious figure with monstrous fingers peek out of the darkness, watching them fly away. It was like reddish eyes. And I'm like, why does this kind of give me Cad Bane vibe? Knowing that's not him. And then my husband was like, is that Darth Plagueis or whatever? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm watching what you're watching. I'm freaked out too. He's like, go look on the internet. I'm like, okay, honey. Let me go down another rabbit hole and never come back. On Brendock, Saul has landed the ship and turns on the distress signal. And he heads out using the Force to look for May. Basil looks on, watching him leave. I mean, you pretty much knew where she was going. Come on, why did you have to use the Force?
Right. On Coruscant, Fenestra speaks with the male voice, saying she needs to get a message to someone. The voice will see what he can do. Mog enters, saying they found Saul on Brendock. She tells him to prepare a ship with knights for a resolution. Not a rescue, nothing, a resolution.
And I thought that was interesting when she's like, as many knights as you can without causing suspicion.
Right.
Like, ooh.
So OSHA and Kamir zoom in to land with Saul watching him arrive from a distance. He enters the fortress, seeing the ruins of the wreckage from 16 years ago. He shouts for May, feeling echoes in the Force from the past of his mistakes. He finds the bridge where he dropped May before leaving. As OSHA and Kamir arrive, she suddenly has the vision of him gone, and she hears his voice in her head. OSHA gets the elevator that enters the fortress to work. May climbs up from where she had fallen 16 years prior, entering her old room. Out in the hallway, Kamir, donning his Cordesus helmet once again, finds Saul thanking the Jedi for leading the Sith to his once apprentice. Both men draw their sabers, brawling in the hallway to the outside bridge. They leap to the courtyard below for a second phase of their battle.
That was an awesome fight, too. Very, like, Crouching Tiger moments.
Yes.
Called it Force Flying in my notes.
Yeah. Saul deflects Kamir and his blades with the force, angering the stranger. Osha finds her sister in their old room. Maid quickly tries to explain that Sol lied to her. Osha said that Sol never blamed May. In fact, Sol tried to teach Osha love towards her sister. However, Osha never forgave May and hated her while grieving their mother. Osha admits she never became a Jedi. May tries again, explaining that Sol killed their mother. Lunging at her, Osha attacks May and the two women fight it out. Outside, Sol and Kamir see Vernestra's ship arrive. Kamir quips that they're not there for him.
I thought that was kind of interesting. I'm like, oh, is he trying to be like, haha, they're coming for you or what?
Yeah, that's what he was hinting at. May and Osha hear the ship arrive too, and May quickly slips away.
How do these people keep slipping away? Do they know that smoke trick?
Yeah.
In my notes I wrote, pulls a Batman. Like, commercial to Gordon. Turn around, he's gone. Hate it when he does that.
The battle rages with Sol and Kamir, with the Jedi breaking Kamir's saber. As Sol holds the Sith at saber point, May rushes out, pulling his blade away. She's able to snatch Sol's lightsaber. Kamir pushes May to strike Sol down, feeding into her anger. Tossing away Sol's lightsaber, May says no. She wants Sol to face trial for his crimes with the High Council and the Republic. Sol stands by the fact that he did the right thing. He says they're not twins, they're the same person. That Mother Anasaya used the Force to create them with the power of the Virgins on the planet. Oh, important to note, Kamir is still there listening to all this information too. May counters that he still killed their mother. Sol admits it, with Osha standing just off to the side hearing his confession.
Come on, you knew that she was setting him up.
Oh, absolutely. She asks if this is true. He explains that he needed May for proof. Without it, the Jedi would have sent Osha away, and she would have never had a chance to be a Jedi. Suddenly, Sol is being force-choked, and Osha is the one doing it. She taps into the dark side and chokes Sol to death. In her hand, she bleeds his kyber crystal, turning it red. With his last...
I was surprised.
Yeah. With his last breath, Sol tells her it's okay before collapse. The vision she had earlier wasn't May.
So, she would never have a chance to be a Jedi because they're going to take her away. That's what he said, right?
Yeah.
But he also said...
And he started to say, I love you. And I'm like, wait.
Yeah, yeah. But he also told her that she was too old to train.
Yeah.
So... Okay.
Can I say the fight between them, hello, you're twins, and, well, we are the same person, I guess, depending however you want to look at it. So you're essentially fighting yourself, and you know your own moves, so I don't think that's going to end well.
You want to hear my tinfoil hat theory now or at the end?
Oh, God. Go ahead.
Okay. Vernestra is also a creation of virgins.
What?
A good one died, and a bad one took over in hiding as a Jedi. That's why she's such a freaking liar.
Wait, so this is a tinfoil hat, or this is actually in the book?
No, it's a tinfoil hat theory.
Okay, I just and wanted to verify that.
Who tried to kill Kamir? So Kamir has the wounds from a fight of, like, the same weapon that Vernestra uses, that whip-like saber. That's the scar on his back.
Right.
So it's either the good one tried to kill Kamir or the bad one did. Anyway. So it's one long cover up. Yeah. Okay, it's out there. Soon I'll be famous. So, as we learned, it was Osha who would kill Sol at the end. Kamir approaches her, but she ignites the saber, now shifting between red and blue. The red wins over, and her kyber crystal fully bled. Meanwhile, Vernestra arrives. Boo. She quickly senses Kamir, realizing he's alive and revealing that she knows him. Yeah. Good or bad one? I think she's the bad.
Yep.
As the Jedi heads out, Mog stops long enough to meet up with Basil. With the twins, May says she knows the way out and they need to go. They flee to the bridge where May fell as a child. They climb down, revealing there's a tunnel where she got sucked into, which saved her life as a child. What?
Yeah.
It's very Luke when he fell.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he kept falling, though. He just opened up a hole. She gets force vacuumed, I guess.
Yes.
That's a good way to call it.
Yeah. The Jedi arrive, finding Saul's body. Vanestra hears Force echoes of the past while Kamira looks on from the shadows. She sends out the other Jedi to search for the twins. With Basil's help, they start picking up the scent of the twins. Mei takes Osha to the Bunta tree. Osha apologizes for not believing her sister and breaking down in tears. Oh, a few tears shed in this episode. However, Kamira interrupts them, saying the Jedi are coming. I like that voice with the helmet.
Yeah.
Mei asks her sister what she wants. Osha goes to Kamira and gives him an ultimatum. She will train with him if he lets Mei go. Kamira says he can attempt to wipe Mei's memory, permanently erase him and Osha. Mei accepts, but Osha doesn't want her to. Mei says that Osha will do what she's meant to, and both twins give him the okay. And to join the dark side. Okay. With one last hug, Osha promises Mei she will find her. Maybe she just meant training, I guess. She always wanted to be trained, but.
Yeah. That's what I thought they were going with, but I mean, I don't know. This one went kind of a little weird with some of it.
Yeah, agreed. With a wave of his hand, Kamira wipes Mei's memory. Minutes later, the Jedi find Mei sitting under the Bunta tree. She's confused, not knowing what she did wrong. They take her to Coruscant, where Vanestra wishes to speak with Mei alone. Scared, all she can remember is a fire destroying her home, a man killing her mother, and her running away to look for someone. Well, she did retain some things. Pretty important. However, she can't remember who she needed to tell. She shifts to Vanestra before a Senate tribunal, explaining what happened on Brendok 16 years prior. She lies and puts all the blame on Saw.
I was mad. I was so mad.
Yep.
Dark Vanestra.
Yeah. You know how earlier in the season I was like, there was a lot of, you know, those sidelong looks like, this bitch. Well, that's what I was saying when she was up there talking about it.
Yeah.
What if Dark Vanestra killed good Vanestra and then had to keep Kamira quiet?
Probably.
Yeah. Okay, so she and the High Council condemn Saul's actions from years ago to the present. With Mei, Vanestra explains that Saul justified his action with love for her sister. Mei is confused because she doesn't remember having a sister. Yeah, do you think that was on purpose or a mistake?
I think that was a mistake.
Yeah, because I watched it and I said, oopsie.
Well, because her face, when Mei said that, was like, oh.
Yeah, okay. This keys in Vanestra realizing what happened to. She apologizes for the Jedi failing her. Man, she blows back and forth like a, not a windmill, what is it? Weather vane. She wants Mei's help and explains they need to find a pupil of hers before he turned evil. Kamira, who has returned to his home with Osha on the unknown planet to begin her training. Final shot is Vanestra leaving her meeting, revealing Master Yoda waiting for her, who's now part of the conspiracy.
Yeah.
as I see it.
But we also see Kamira grabbing
Osha's hand
and the lightsaber. So it's like, okay, is he supposed to be taking the lightsaber from her, or is he, like I said, trauma bonding with her at this point? Like, this is horrible. We're both screwed, ultimately.
They should have showed that dark figure again.
Right.
And hold her hand, you know, in the deep back, hold her hand so he doesn't, Plagueis, let's say it's Plagueis, doesn't use her to kill him, I guess. Right. Because eventually Kamira's supposed to kill Plagueis, I'm guessing, also. How's that for a rabbit hole?
Oh, God. No, I have so much to do because Con's coming up, and now I'm going to be, like, looking stuff up like this.
Be on the plane. What if Dave is right? No!
All of a sudden, I, like, get off the plane, and you get, like, a thesis from me. Well, this is what I think happened.
You'll see two people walking around as Vanestra. Dark Vanestra, light Vanestra. What?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there was pictures of, from the comic, whatever, with Vanestra, and she had a bunch of hair. I'm like, so, is one, was this a different Vanestra, her whole attitude kind of thing? Or now I'm wondering if it was a different person? Oh, great, Dave.
You're welcome. All right, let's get to the ratings then. Sean, kick it off, if you can.
I mean, like I said, I did really like this one because it really surprised me, especially that they killed off Saul. Because I'm like, what? That threw me. So, like the last one had butterflies. I'm going to say it's a 4 out of 5.
Okay. Steve, what you got? Sith Lord Steve, that is.
Yes, I've got 4.5 out of 5. Osha gets her revenge.
And since I last liked last week's more. I'm going to have to downgrade. Last week was a 4. This one is 3 out of 5 wire-ripping basils.
You know what? Somebody seriously, like, explain that.
Yeah.
That was just confusing.
Well, we'd love to hear your thoughts on each and every episode this season. Our deadline for feedback is 6 p.m. Eastern every Friday during the season. You can send your feedback via email or audio to contact us at fangirlzone.com.
Please review and rate us on iTunes and any other platform you use for your podcast with good ratings and reviews. It helps other fans of the show find us, as there are plenty of other Acolyte podcasts, but we're the good one. Tell your friends, and I hope you are enjoying our podcast. And don't forget to check out the other great Fangirl Zone podcast.
And you can find all of those over at www.fangirlzone.com. And oh my gosh, we have everything on there. And I'm so excited to be bringing stuff from San Diego Comic-Con very soon. And like they said, send us emails, contact us at fangirlzone.com. Even if you send it, because this is the finale, sending it after the season, we will reply to you and let you know what we think in regards to your possible tinfoil hat theories, if you have them too. So, for this episode of the Mudhorn Clan Cast,
I'm Sith Lord Steen. Sorry to disturb you, Master. We need to talk.
I'm Sean Fangirl S, and I am kind of mad they didn't say who taught them that rhyme.
And this is Beskar Dave. I bet you didn't know I am one person born as two. We're both bad.
Ha 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 ha.